Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Collective podcast. This is your host, J-Dub. I'm back. This episode, I'm going to talk about the curious case of Michael Penix Jr. and the selection by the Atlanta Falcons as the eighth overall player in this draft. I'm going to talk about why it's a curious case, but also present my case and why I still think this is a good spot for Michael Penix and for fantasy leaguers long term. So get to that on the flip side.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
I'm going to start off with I am a fan of Michael Penix. I believe he can and will be a productive NFL starting quarterback, likely a 10-year type starter. Again, injuries are a factor here. They're a factor in him and some of the concern. I also agree, though, that the Atlanta Falcons selection of him as the eighth overall pick in the 2024 draft following the signing of Kirk Cousins for $180 million is a curious case. But what I will argue, though, is that while this selection may be short-term misguided, it's a good landing spot for Penix. They'll put him in the best possible position to get to be a 10-plus year starting NFL quarterback. So let me start with the curious states of this selection. First, Kirk Cousins signed a four-year, $180 million contract in February with the Atlanta Falcons. He's pushing 37, so he's really towards the end of his career. But this contract is for a minimum of 2 years, I think, and about $100 million guaranteed. So really, we're talking 2 years. They've got to pay him huge money. So thus, Penix is likely to sit and watch for a minimum of two seasons. That's point one. I think that's the core of what most people's argument, at least the rational argument people are making of why did Atlanta do this. Second, I think actually a pretty important part of this too is Michael Penix is 24 years old. He graduated college, graduated from Indiana University in the spring of May of 22. So he's played two full additional seasons. Presumably he took more classes at Washington graduate school student after he transferred there, but he's 24. He started more than 40 college games in the Big Ten and Pac-12. And he's just about as ready as you'd get in any rookie quarterback to start immediately, more so than even like a Jay McCarthy or in past years, even like Drake May or Mitchell Trubisky, Justin Fields, guys that had started like a year or 2 years, but really hadn't had the length and time leading a team. Penix has led effectively six teams. He had a bunch of injuries shortened seasons earlier in his career in Indiana, but he's ready to play. Third, drafting a quarterback top 10 gives a team a salary arbitrage. So this is getting into the minutiae of NFL salary cap, but if they hit one on a quarterback, they can spend 30 plus million. That's the arbitrage between what a veteran proven starting quarterback costs, which is more like 50, and what your rookie deal and your fifth year extension would cost for a quarterback. So for an eighth overall selection with a $50 million quarterback already on the roster, it mitigates that salary advantage. That's the sort of third kind of core point of the curious case, so to speak. Four, the Atlanta brass rationale that this is the Green Bay way really fails to acknowledge that the Packers quarterbacks in the form of Aaron Rodgers when they had Brett Favre and then Jordan Love when they had Aaron Rodgers were taken in the kind of mid to late 20s. So there's far less risk and investment in those picks. The big difference between the eighth overall pick and the mid 20s. So that's the fourth. Look, while I agree with all the punditry piling on the rationale of why the Atlanta Falcons should not have selected Penix, there are factors we don't know that may have forced them to take the approach they did and draft him so high. Let's just say we should assume based on Atlanta Falcons' words and actions that they fell in love with Penix after the Cousins signing. Most of the intensive scouting work happens after the start of free agency. A lot of NFL teams are scouting all year round. They've got a book on guys that aren't even going to come out for 2 or 3 years. However, Penix in particular was reportedly very impressive in interviews. His workouts were impressive. His pro dance, I'll get to with his athleticism, was impressive. And the back channel effort was impressive. So we can make a basic assumption that the Falcons probably had a sense of Penix, but really got won over when they met him in person. And then furthermore, there's a lot of smoke and likely fire that the Los Angeles Raiders were going to select Penix at 13. And I think less pundits would be upset about it because they're like, oh, they need a quarterback. That makes sense. But so there's an issue. If you fell in love with a player and you knew a team a couple picks behind you was going to draft them, it's hard. There's also rumors that both the Minnesota Vikings and Denver Broncos favored Penix as well. So in short, Atlanta probably could not trade back much, if at all, and still select Penix. So the fact that he took him eighth It's not like they could have traded back to 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, which a lot of these draft pundits or NFL kind of personalities are saying. Why wouldn't they just at least trade down and get more draft capital? I think that the truth is that Penix looks great on paper. He looked great the last 2 years. And then he clearly impressed in his workouts and his interviews. So in short, the one and only complaint that is valid for Atlanta in this is the signing of Kirk Cousins, if they had considered rookie quarterback at all. But the timing may not have made that possible. Okay, let me flip over. So here's the case for why Penix will be a 10-year NFL starting quarterback. Again, some of this is conjecture. It's belief based on watching him play and then just triangulating kind of different data points. But I think it's an important one. So first, Penix has demonstrated consistent improvement throughout his college career. He elevated every team when he was behind center, including leading Indiana to its first top 10 ranking in over 50 years when he was a starter, only to succumb to injury and them falling off, and then coming to Washington and immediately then leading them to prominence, taking them back the national title game, which they hadn't been back to, I believe, in about 30, almost actually, yeah, 30 years. They'd won the national title in the early 90s and had been in multiple national titles at that period of time. So he really improved every year. He rose and elevated the play of his teammates. That's the most important thing. So injury history aside, Penix was an impact player every season in college. And he played in the Big Ten. He played in the Pac-12. He played for programs in Indiana. He played for a lesser program, but elevated them. For Washington, he came to a program with a storied history, but hadn't been consistently very good in the last 30 years, and he elevated them immediately. Second point, and I think this is an important one that a lot of people missed. I didn't realize this because you didn't see it in game in and game out. He wasn't looking to run every play, although if you go back to his Indiana days, he was more a little bit more mobile. Penix's athleticism is great for a quarterback. He ran a 4.6 40. He had a 36-inch vertical and a 10.5 broad jump. Those are really outstanding numbers for a quarterback. Is it the most elite you've ever seen a quarterback? No. But I think you combine his passing numbers, his arm strength, what he did in his workouts, with the athleticism, and it really tells a picture that this isn't just a pocket passer that doesn't have additional upside. Next, Penix's arm and his ability to make every NFL throw at an elite level was shown this past season and in his workouts, leading to a lot of teams increasing his value between the postseason. Next, I think this is an important point. It's one that's hard for fantasy leaguers because we're all about now and, quite frankly, fans in general. But sitting for 2 years behind Kirk Cousins really increases his probability of success. There's a bunch of data on this. I won't go through all of it, but quarterbacks, specifically high drafted for quarterbacks where there's a lot of draft capital and clearly there's a talent there, who get to sit and learn for at least a year, consistently outperform those thrown into action immediately. And there's some selection bias in that, but overall, if you look at the greatest quarterbacks of all time, there's a few that played immediately. The vast majority sat for a full season or at least for part of a season. So it really does help him that he gets to assimilate. Yes, he's 24. Yes, he started a lot of games. Could he play immediately? Of course, but it will help him to sit and learn. And yes, will he be 25 or 26 years old when he starts playing the NFL? Of course. But what are quarterback lifespans now? We're talking about a Kirk Cousins who's 30, going to be 37 next year. So you're talking about a 10-year span that he could be a starter. So I'm not too worried about that. And then maybe almost as important point is Atlanta's young skill position talent is potentially elite with Bijan Robinson at running back. He was the 8th overall selection last year. Drake London at wide receiver. He was the 8th overall selection the year before that. And Kyle Pitts, who was the 4th overall selection the year before that. And most notably, this is being used as a negative for Penix, but they're all younger than Penix. So they're all going to grow up together. This talent base gives Penix a foundation to grow into and have immediate success when he succeeds Kirk Cousins. That all said, how should fantasy players evaluate Michael Penix in 2024? That's a great question. Ultimately, for the majority of you, redraft league, small super flex dynasty, you can wait on selecting him for a year or more and just see how Kirk Cousins returns from his injury and how Falcons offense develops. For those in super flex dynasty leagues, think of Penix as a high probability lottery ticket for the 2026 season. So if you've got a situation where you've got to stash him in your roster for multiple years and that's problematic, then maybe you just pass and you just remember this podcast and this argument for next year when he gets closer to starting. But I think there's an outside chance he would have relevance in 2025 and potentially even 24 if Cousins sputters and just struggles to return from his Achilles. But he definitely has an outside chance at relevance in 2025, and he's almost certainly going to be the starter in 26. And in those instances, I believe the opportunity right now is to buy low, develop him, quote unquote, allow him to mature on your roster, and then reap the rewards as he takes a starting job in an offense with potentially elite weapons. Again, there's some ifs there. You've got a couple years of a window, so there's this sort of time to value argument. But I do think, and as I stated, Penix is better than he's getting credit for. He's checked all these boxes that make him a pretty interesting player going forward. You're just going to have to wait 1 to 2 years. I don't think he's sitting for 3 years. I just don't think that makes sense. The contract Kirk Cousins signed is really a 2-year, $100 million deal. And I think at that point, Penix will be ready, the team will be ready, and they'll make the transition, assuming he can handle it, and he shows that in the preseason. So anyhow, on that note, I hope you enjoy the content. If you enjoy the podcast, please give us a review. Please subscribe. On that note, I hope you have a great day, a great week. Take care. Bye-bye. Before we leave, let me tell you a little something. Uptown funk you up.